اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك، وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك، فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي، وأقل يا غفور عثرتي. فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وعثرة قد أقلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده، الظاهر بالكرم مجده، الباسط بالجود يده، الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما، إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير، مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما، وغناك عنه قديم، وهو عندي كثير، وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي، أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك، الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك، فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا، لا خائفا ولا وجلا، مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك. فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك، ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور. فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي. يا ربي إنك تدعوني فأولي عنك، وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك، وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك، كأن لي التطول عليك. فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك. فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك، إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك، مجري الفلك، مسخر الرياح، فالق الإصباح، ديان الدين، رب العالمين. الحمد لله على جميع على حلمه بعد علمه، والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، الحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد، الحمد لله خالق الخلق، باسط الرزق، فالق الإصباح، ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام، الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى، تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله، ولا شبيه يشاكله، ولا ظهير يعاضده، قهر بعزته الأعزاء، وتواضع لعظمته العظماء، فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء، الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أنادي ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أحصي ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازي فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني وبهجة مونقة قد أراني فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين والحمد لله قاسم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وصل على سبطي الرحمة الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدوس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك. استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله. مكر له دينه الذي ارتضيته له. أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به وانصره وانتصر به وانصره نصرا عزيزا وافتح له فتحا يسيرا واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتذل بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المن به شعثنا واشعب به صدعنا وارتق به فتقنا وكثر به قلتنا وأعزز به ذلتنا وأغن به عائلنا واقض به عن مغرمنا واجبر به فقرنا وسد به خلتنا ويسر به عسرنا وبيض به وجوهنا وفك به أسرنا وأنجح به طلبتنا وأنجز به مواعيدنا واستجب به دعوتنا وأعطنا به سؤلنا وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين. اشف به صدورنا وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك. إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا إله الحق آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله وغيبة ولينا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا. فصل على محمد وآل محمد وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجلوه وبضر تكشفوه ونصر تعزوه وسلطان حق تظهروه ورحمة منك تجللناها وعافية منك تلبسناها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. صلوات.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا سيد الخلق أجمعين، حبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. First thing I'd like to say is that I'd like to correct something wrong that I said last night. The message that was given is found in the Quran and in ahadith about everyone being responsible to uphold the boundaries of Islam, and that it requires patience and so on and so forth. However, the verse that was mentioned, the last verse of Surah Al-Imran, I believe, if I didn't misquote that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا, the رَابِطُوا part there was an incorrect memory of mine regarding the meaning of the word, that I started to doubt towards the end of the talk, and therefore I couldn't address before I checked, and I couldn't at the end make any corrections, as I had to check to make sure that it was incorrect, and I did check it and it was incorrect, and I should have realized that, but unfortunately I didn't. Rabitu does not mean to protect the boundaries of Islam or any boundaries. It has a different meaning. It has to do with forming a community, and inshallah at some other point we can discuss that topic. Tonight what I'd like to discuss is from the Qur'an, from the various verses of the Holy Qur'an that hopefully over the course of these nights we're reading, trying to study, trying to understand. And that has to do with the idea of marriage. I don't want to talk about the importance of getting married. We've heard that so many times. The akhlaq of marriage, that's another topic. It is discussed. It is important. It needs to be discussed. There's various aspects of the concept of marriage in Islam that can be discussed. Some of them are discussed, and others aren't discussed. There are some aspects that are found in the Quran, they're not discussed. Some of those aspects are discussed, but amongst mu'mineen, amongst muslimin and muslimat, in a negative light, unfortunately. I don't know exactly what has happened to us that as believers we discuss what the Quran talks about, a particular point, guidance that comes from the Quran, and then instead of accepting it and realizing that since that's from God, that is correct, and what I think of and what I know of is incorrect, I say, no, that can't be correct. What I find in the Quran, what I heard, no, that must be, the speaker made a mistake. Well, go check for yourself. He's giving a reference. You have a problem with it, even if it's found in the Quran. You're willing to change meanings of words just to get it to where you like it. That approach is wrong. So anyhow, there's various aspects of the topic of marriage found in the Quran that are important for us to discuss and for us to understand whether they apply to us, they don't apply to us. We've got to, that's one of the areas, as we were mentioning last night, the boundaries of Islam, the hudud of Allah. Wherever He has set boundaries, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad, this is recommended, that's discouraged, this is halal, whatever you like, that remains halal. All of that, those are the boundaries that have been set. And no part of that can change. Any part of that change is deviation, is deviance, whatever it is called, and under whatever name or banner it is under, it's a banner of shaitan, iblis, and misguidance and so on. We've got to make sure we understand those boundaries as they are, without changing them, as they are. One of the topics related to marriage in Islam that is discussed in various ways in the Holy Quran has to do with the relationship of men and women in the context of marriage. I'm going to talk about it in a general way. There are specific areas and details, if we may call them, of this general idea that those details are sometimes even more difficult than this general concept that I'm going to present. So I'm not going to get to those details. I'm going to take my time to get and discuss those. So at some point, maybe we can discuss some of those details. But in the relationship of a man and a woman, or in the relationship of marriage between a man and a woman, and what I mean by that is not the Western notion where it's only one man and one woman. That is Quranically rejected. That's not the case. But the relationship of marriage, a marriage, is between a man and a woman. Now, whether that man can have more than one wife or not, that is the part that we're not discussing right now. The point is that each marriage is between a man and a woman. It can't be between a man and a man, and it can't be between a woman and a woman. It's between a man and a woman. If that man happens to have more than one wife, according to the Islamic teaching of polygamy, that each of those marriages between him, in each of those marriages, he has the responsibilities that he has towards that wife of his. Now, the point here is that general teaching regarding that relationship between a man and a woman is that the relationship is different than the Western notion of marriage and a romantic relationship between a man and a woman. This first point is something that needs to be understood, and we are in need of correcting our view regarding this topic. We tend to take the understanding of what a good relationship, a positive relationship, a loving relationship, a good relationship between a husband and wife, we take that from what is given to us through the media, in books, in movies and cartoons, and we don't necessarily need to see and watch all of what's out there. The thing is that society is influenced by that. Society is influenced by these talk shows, by the Hollywood films, by Bollywood films, by all these different elements that form a public opinion regarding something. Without realizing, we, amongst others in the global society we live in, that is all influenced by this media, whether we live in a Muslim country or a non-Muslim country, the media that affects us is the same. The amount of time we spend hearing what Islam says about these topics is much less than the time we spend watching movies, cartoons, and talk shows, and reading literature from the West. The time isn't the same. Even, unfortunately, as we said, society is affected by that, and that's a global thing. It's not something that's related to only people living in the West. And the unfortunate thing about that is sometimes we find that religious preachers, speakers, sometimes Hausa students are influenced by that. They're influenced, they're thought process, their way of thinking, their opinion regarding marital relationship and what it's supposed to be like has been defined by this global media that's available. Because this has been pounding this notion of romance over not a decade or two. Perhaps one can claim it's over a century. I think it's safe to say it's over a century, and that's to be on the safe side. It could be said that it's even more than that. Some of the influences of Western culture in the Muslim world start before a century ago. It's cultural influences. So over all that time, this constant bombardment, children are raised in an environment where what the first things they hear and see are from Western created products. And so what opinion forms in their mind, the feelings they form towards various topics are naturally going to be what they receive from that medium or that media. There's multiple sources. Those media. Unless it's balanced out with Islamic teachings. One of the areas that we find we have not balanced it out is the topic of marriage and the relationship here between a man and a woman in marriage. That part has not been balanced out. We have some areas that have been balanced out, sometimes overdone, like the concept of hijab. It's something that, at least in certain areas, it's been emphasized on and it's taken seriously. So whatever people see, children see those cartoons, but they end up wearing that hijab because it's been balanced out. And they realize that this ideology that girl, that woman goes out without hijab, you see it, it's there. It's a fact that some people do that. But you also hear the other part of that, which is that that's wrong. That's not the way you're supposed to do it. That's not the way God likes it. The way God likes it is that you go out covered. And of course, as we've mentioned over and over, it's a little overdone. That needs to be corrected. We can't go overboard with anything. We've got to go exactly what Islam says. Anyhow, so with some topics, we have somewhat balanced it out. One of the areas that I feel has been left out greatly and very seriously is the topic of marriage. A marital relationship, the relationship between a man and a woman. Various aspects of that are really this dreamlike image of what that relationship is supposed to be like has been put in our minds based on what we see from the West, what we see in Hollywood films and cartoons. And it's repeated and repeated and repeated. And then what happens is when we read hadith about, for instance, a husband being good to his wife, then we automatically put that general teaching along with something we found in this movie or in that cartoon or here or there in this talk show. And we assume what that means is what was said there. Oh, good relationship. Treat her well. Well, there's certain ways that you're supposed to do it. And there's certain ways you're not supposed to do things. Certain rights that she has or he has. Certain ways you got to do this. This is the first thing that needs to be, we need to be mindful of this. We cannot be taking in food without, it's like having junk food. You know, you're sitting there, just whatever's going on, you just munching on stuff. You don't even know what this stuff is. You're just taking in. Especially if you don't look at it, it's a whole bunch of God knows what it is. You're just taking whatever, just munching, and you're not conscious of, you're not looking at your food. Okay? The Quran says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. And then the hadith explains further, the ta'am you're supposed to really look at, the food, food for thought, for your mind, for your soul, for your spirit, that's where you have to be very careful with. So if you're taking this stuff in, as you are, you're just watching it over and over. It's impacting your personality, your perception of things. We can't allow others to form our opinion without us being even realizing that as being effective in changing our opinion or forming our opinion of something. We have to be mindful that that is happening. This is not about children. As soon as this is said, people think we need to do something about our children. Yeah, you need to do something about your children, but first you need to do something about yourself. You've already been influenced by this. Recognize that. If you don't recognize that, even what you're going to be taking out from your children or putting in for your children is not going to be accurate. You have to first pick out the flaws in your understanding regarding things from what you've received from that media, from those media outlets, the various forms. Correct them. Get them, you know, this isn't right, that isn't right, that other thing isn't right. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So that general first point needs to be mentioned over and over, specifically regarding marriage. Our expectations, let me put this aspect as well. Look, a marriage working or not working, a marriage working out or not working out. Even that, what's the definition of a marriage working out or not working out? According to the Islamic teachings, a marriage working out is a marriage that the two parties are living together based on God's guidelines, which is going to lead both of them to prosperity eternally, not only in this world, in the hereafter as well. If a marriage is seemingly, they're living happily ever after, as they say, and it's looking really nice, and everyone who sees that envies that relationship. He's always buying her flowers. She's always very respectful towards him, and they're having children, as many as they want, and not too many, of course, because that's going to get in the way of their romance, and so on and so forth. And so that's a great marriage. It's working out very well. They're both keeping slim. They look great, and put up photos on Instagram, on TikTok, on whatever. Show off to the world. We went for vacation here and there, and it just keeps going year after year. And that, but the relationship isn't based on what God said. Well, according to Islam, that's not working out. You got to change that relationship up. If a relationship is going to work based on Islamic standards, which includes the relationship between that man and his wife, that woman, that sister, and her husband, to be good, that they need to have love towards each other, they need to enjoy each other's presence. In fact, if you do it based on how God mentions it from both sides, it requires both parties' involvement. If they both go based on what God says, the amount of pleasure they will take in enjoying each other's presence, being together, living together, having children with one another, is going to be on a completely different level. And they're not going to go post it all over the place. They enjoy one another. Why do I need to show it off to this person or that person? I want to enjoy it with her. I want to enjoy it with him, meaning the wife wanting to enjoy it with her husband. That's what it's about, not to tell the whole world, oh, I love him or I love her. What's the point of that? What is that? Why do we want to make that aspect of our life all public? I'm not saying it's haram to post pictures. The idea is this marriage is about that relationship between the two parties, not about what you show to the world. If we live by Islamic standards, it's going to be better then. The pleasure will be longer lasting. Will be more. It includes that. However, it also includes aspects that have to do with our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the point here is this. If we want to get to that marriage that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, He considers it a correct relationship, we've got to do things based on how God says it needs to be. If you do it that way, it would lead to a long-lasting relationship, one that transcends this life. A long-lasting relationship that's not only long-lasting and hellish, but long-lasting and pleasurable. And year after year, the pleasure, the love, the feelings, the joy increases in the hardships and in the ease, times of ease. As they progress towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is going to increase. But that involves doing it based on what God says. One of the things that God says in regards to the marital relationship of a man and a woman is that the roles are not the same, the responsibilities are not the same, and the responsibilities are not what is dictated by the West. For example, right now I want to give an example of something that's dictated by Western lifestyle, Western teachings. According to Western teachings, if the marriage is good, if the relationship is working out, then he has got to be every night staying in the same bedroom and in the same bed. Of course, there are some people that are saying otherwise now. There's a few voices heard. And of course, their notion is not the Islamic notion either. But the idea is they have to be together. He has to be home and he has to be in bed. They have to be in the same bedroom and in the same bed. If they're not doing that every single night, there's a problem. According to Islamic teachings, that's not the case. That is absolutely not the case. It doesn't require a man to be in bed with his wife every single night. And I'm not talking about the intimate relationship, just being in the bedroom, sleeping in the same bed, being home at that time and sleeping in the same bed. That's not an Islamic requirement. If it's not an Islamic requirement for the two parties involved, the husband and the wife, or one of them, to expect that as part of a good relationship, and then conclude, if that's not happening, that this is not a good relationship, he doesn't love me, that's all based on what? It's all based on Western influence. It's all based on what the movies have taught. It's all based on what the cartoons have, or the media that has impacted society. The cultural understanding of a good marital relationship is that they're together every night, they sleep in, unless there's an absolute must that he needs to be out and for business, and that's the only thing that's legitimate, business. According to Islam, that's not the case. That is not the case. I'm not encouraging that husbands and men, for no reason, just try to avoid that. That's not what we're suggesting at all. What we're suggesting is don't make that an expectation and don't make that a sign of a loving relationship. It isn't necessarily. When there's leeway, for whatever reason, if the wife sees he's not there, to conclude that there's a problem, that's incorrect. For whatever reason, he didn't sleep in the bedroom that night. That's not a sign that it's not working out. You shouldn't take it as such. There are other examples of this as well. I don't think I can touch on any more of such. There's a long list of examples that can be given in regards to this. Some of them are very difficult to discuss. It's very difficult. I'm afraid that people are going to reject it. This is the reason why it's difficult. I'm afraid people are going to be rejecting it. And if people reject something that's from Islam out of their ignorance, it has negative consequences on them. And that's the fear we have. That's the fear I have. If I present it as is from the Quran regarding the marital relationship of a man and a woman in Islam, according to the Quran, parts of it are going to be so drastically different than our cultural understanding of that we're just going to outright reject it. Some of us are going to outright reject it. If I am rejected as a person, that's fine. I am nobody. I don't have an issue with being rejected. And in fact, if what I say is wrong, then I do want to be rejected. I don't want anyone to take my word over what God has said. But it's clear. It's not like some form of a matter of difference in interpretation. It's very, very clear. It's very clear in the Holy Quran in terms of those aspects of a marital life that we just believe in the complete opposite of that so strongly, and we consider what the Quran says so wrong that if said to us, we will reject it. And that has a negative consequence on our spiritual. But I will give that example, and I gave some general guidelines, general aspects to consider. And I encourage that with those general points, go to the Quran. Don't skip on anything. Don't put anything aside. When you find something in the Quran, take it. Think about it. Compare it to what you think of the same topic that's addressed there. And if you find that what you're thinking of, what you feel of that topic, what you think to be right in regards to that matter, to be different than what the Quran says, acknowledge that, Ask God to help you change that. And repent. Do istighfar. Ya Allah, I'm feeling about something that you have said to be good differently. I'm feeling bad about it. Or something that you have said is bad, I feel good about it. The full submission that God tells us in the Quran, Ibrahim asks, رَبَّنَا وَاجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكْ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً. That Islam that is spoken of is full submission. Part of that full submission is feeling towards things the way He wants. I have to feel good about what He says is good. Feel bad about what He says is bad. When I find in the Quran that there's something that He says is good, and I feel bad about it, that needs istighfar. Ya Allah, astaghfiruk wa atubu ilayk. If I find something there that is considered bad and I feel good towards, Ya Allah, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask for forgiveness and try to correct that. Try to change that feeling to what it's supposed to be. It's part of our... And then comes the stage of implementing it. Some of those teachings are so difficult. Great women in history, sometimes great men have had trouble implementing those teachings. They're practically sometimes very difficult to go based on what Islam says. But that's what God says. He says, that's good. That's right. Anything else is wrong. Go find them and try to figure out what needs to be changed in our mind. Let me connect this to last night's talk. We said that we need to correct our understanding of deen. A lot of times these perceptions that we have received from the media regarding, right now we're talking specifically about marriage, have affected and impacted our religious understanding. We actually value as good what we have received from Hollywood. We consider that good, and whatever is against that and conflicts with that to be bad. And the problem here is what God says actually conflicts with that. Or in other words, it should be looked at reversely. What Hollywood says conflicts with what God has said. We have allowed ourselves to think of good and bad based on something outside of that, and then interpret verses in the hadith based on that. That needs to be corrected. That needs to be corrected for the coming of the Imam over time. Inshallah, we have that opportunity to do so. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah to help us become His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. We ask Him to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alih, rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat.